It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, March 30th. I'm Patricia Naft. A lawsuit has been announced over two species of wildflower. Last week, Earth Justice filed suit against U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Department of the Interior over their decision last fall not to put two wildflowers on the endangered species list. The White River Beard Tongue and the Graham's Beard Tongues both have small purple flowers, and they both only grow on oil shale in Colorado and Utah. Listing for the flowers was considered because of oil and gas development on the oil shale, but the government and industry groups came to a compromise. Rocky Mountain Wild is one of the plaintiffs in the case. Megan Mueller is the senior conservation biologist, and she says that development in these oil shale areas threaten 100% of the White River habitat and 85% of the Graham's Beard Tongue habitat.
So I think that conservation agreements, when they're science-based and they're done with real intent to conserve species, can be a great compromise. And in other situations, we've been very supportive of those kinds of efforts. But this conservation agreement was not really done in good faith. I think that industry really pushed hard to make sure that they didn't have to do very much to protect the wildflowers, and the Fish and Wildlife Service kind of gave in to their pressure. And so we have a conservation agreement here that just really isn't going to work.
Mueller hopes that this lawsuit will make Fish and Wildlife reconsider and list the flowers under the Endangered Species Act. A bill to repeal expanded background checks for private gun transfers and online sales cleared the state Senate last week. It passed along party lines and now heads to the Democratic-controlled House. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Republicans, who now hold a one-seat majority in the Senate, used their control to pass Senate Bill 86. It undoes the 2013 background check expansion, which Republicans say is unenforceable and will penalize law-abiding citizens. Meanwhile, Democrats maintain the expanded checks are necessary.
The idea of making it easier for felons to get firearms is one that astonishes me, to be candid, on why we would even want to do this.
That was Senate Minority Leader Morgan Carroll of Aurora. The proposal is expected to fail in the House. A GOP bill to repeal the high-capacity magazine ban is also expected to die in that chamber, even though it has some Democratic support. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A new report estimates national parks need $11.5 billion to address maintenance and repair projects. The National Park Service report finds Colorado parks alone could use more than $200 million. KVNF's Laura Palmisano speaks to Sandra Schnell Dober, a spokesperson for Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park and Curaconte National Recreation Area.
The National Park Service released its deferred maintenance report for 2014. What is deferred maintenance?
Basically, deferred maintenance is the planned undertaking of a repair or rehabilitation of a capital investment. In other words, our infrastructure, our campgrounds, our visitor centers, our restrooms, our trails, all are considered to be capital assets for the National Park Service. And deferred maintenance is simply the maintenance that we should be doing on those, but because of funding, we have deferred them year after year.
Sandra, you oversee public relations for the Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park and Curaconte National Recreation Area in Colorado. What maintenance has been deferred at these sites?
Basically, what we've deferred is major projects such as reconstruction or rehabilitation of visitor centers, making them more accessible to a broader range of the public. We try to maintain things in a basic level of safe and accessible condition, so to speak. But over time, you have to invest more and more money in aging infrastructure.
What facilities at these parks actually just need repairs now and they can't wait anymore?
I'm not sure that we have anything that's absolutely on the can't wait anymore list, because we've put small amounts of money into them to keep them going. Probably the closest thing would be our visitor center at Elk Creek here in Curaconte. It's to the point where it's not really weatherproof. We're starting to see leaks. We're starting to see that visitors are noticing these things and mentioning them to us.
The report says Black Canyon National Park needs about $5.5 million, and Curaconte National Recreation Area could use nearly $10 million for deferred maintenance repairs. Of Colorado's 12 parks, Rocky Mountain National Park tops the list, needing an estimated $67 million. In the Park Service budget proposal, the agency is asking Congress for more than $500 million for maintenance and infrastructure projects. And finally, spring is in the air and lots of change is happening. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Spring has officially started, but on the western slope of Colorado, people have been noticing signs of warm weather for a while. ICChange.org has seen a lot of postings about the early arrivals in the natural world. Andrea Likos, for example, noticed a springtime sound at the beginning of February.
We have a large compost pile, and I was out there one day adding more stuff to it and starting to turn it when I heard what I thought was a croak. This was right at the end of January, beginning of February. So I listened more carefully, and sure enough, I started hearing frogs chirping. So I wonder, one, is if that might have been a different type of frog than is what typically in our ponds. And also, if they come out this early and we do have a continued winter and some severe cold in the evenings, will that kill them?
To answer her question, I got in touch with Dr. Mike Bernard.
Hello, my name is Mike Bernard. I'm an assistant professor at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm an amphibian biologist. So Andrea, I was hearing the description of the story of the frogs, and I think it's actually not a wood frog. I'm thinking the frog that you might be hearing may be something called the Western chorus frog, which is it looks similar to the wood frog in its coloration and some of its pattern. Its call almost sounds like a little bit of a trill if you were to run a finger down a comb or something along those lines. But it's similar to the wood frog in the sense that it's a member of these group of frogs that we think of as cold weather breeding frogs. Wherever they're at, they're almost always some of the very first frogs to come out and breed. They migrate sometimes over snow to ponds, and then they'll call and they'll breed in the ponds. A lot of these species, whether it's the wood frog or the western chorus frog, have really large latitudinal ranges. That is, they go from sort of southern parts of the U.S. up into Canada. And so when they breed, whether it's early or late, depends a lot on the latitude and the elevation you're at. And so, for example, the chorus frogs and the wood frogs here, where I am in Ohio, they can breed as early as late February and as late as April 10th, depending on the weather conditions that year. So that's within their normal range. They can be really variable. So if you're hearing them earlier than you normally do over a couple of years, they certainly may be coming out early.
He says the animals aren't looking at a calendar for their cue to begin mating. It's more like they're looking at a thermometer and a rain gauge.
Yeah, so a lot of it's associated with warmer and warmer winters. So as you get warmer winters, most of these amphibians, especially these early spring breeding ones like the chorus frog and like the wood frog, there's certain temperature and rainfall thresholds they need to cross. So for example, it might be that you need to have 5 days in a row where daytime temperatures are over 60 degrees to get some of these animals to migrate and breed, plus a rainstorm. It used to be that temperature threshold may have shown up in April, say in parts of Ohio 50, 100 years ago. Now that warm 3-day threshold is showing up in late February or early March. And so the threshold conditions these animals need to wake up out of their dormancy and move in and breed is happening earlier and earlier every year.
As Andrea wondered, it does pose a definite threat if the cold weather comes back. Bernard says that ponds can freeze, trapping adults and killing any offspring.
And there's actually an analogous issue with frost damage in spring plants. And so for a lot of these animals and plants, if they start their life cycle early, they are more susceptible to sudden frost that can damage leaves, that can damage adult animals, that can cause their tadpoles to die. So there are real costs to breeding early for these organisms.
This story was produced with IC Change, a national crowdsourced climate reporting project. What are you seeing? Tell us at icchange.org.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. Thank you for your support during our spring pledge drive. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.